Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1. Let's read verse 9 together. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful. Verse 4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I thank God for his grace which is given to you by Jesus Christ. The grace of God. Verse 5 says that in everything you are enriched by him. Though he was rich, for your sake, he made himself to be poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You are enriched. In everything, you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Our God has given a testimony of his Son. And the Holy Spirit has confirmed that testimony in you. Verse 7 says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a statement to make. Who will confirm you all the way to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be so badly. I want to be blameless. In my flesh, I'm not. And I know it. And it grieves me, and I wish it wasn't so. And this is what I long to be, just like him. Blameless. I want to be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, God is faithful. What a message. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. I was talking to a brother this week, and we were talking about our lack. That's what we were talking about. Talking about our insufficiency, talking about our inability to be what we want to be as followers of Christ. God's people. We're supposed to be God's people. I look at this old sinful, wicked flesh sometimes and I think, you're supposed to be a child of God. And we were talking about just how pitiful our efforts are. So pitiful. And just how shameful our efforts are. And just how shameful we are. And then this brother said, thank God he is faithful. And I said, amen. That's right. That's right. Thank God he is faithful. Thank God he's faithful. Verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible dictionary, there is a Bible dictionary and a concordance and a regular dictionary. The Bible dictionary says that the word faithful means worthy of trust. One that can be relied on. God is worthy of trust. God is one that can be relied on. The concordance says it means sure. true. God is sure. God is true. Webster's dictionary says that it means steadfast in affection or allegiance. Faithful. Steadfast in affection. It means firm in adherence to promises. Faithful. What it means is, if he loves, he will keep on loving. If he promises, he'll do it. I wish that I and all of us could get a hold of the fact that when we see him say something, consider it done. It's done. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, we read this and we think, oh, I hope he does that. If he says he'll do it, he'll do it. He said in Isaiah 46, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. God is faithful. Thank God. He's faithful. God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promise. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful. Now, I want to take a minute this morning to see what he has promised to be faithful in. In his word, what has he promised to his people to be faithful in? Let's read a few scriptures here. The first one is Deuteronomy 7. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, this is a wonderful verse right here. Look at verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. How can a sinner keep the commandments of God? People read that and they think, okay, as long as I'll keep his commandments, he'll love me. Has a sinner ever kept the commandments of God? No. No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. How can a sinner keep the commandments of God? Here's the answer. Only in Christ. He kept the commandments of God. Outside of Christ, every soul has transgressed. Every soul. All have sinned and broken his commandments. So here's the good news of the gospel. This is what we tell to sinners who know, I have not kept the commandments of God. The Lord God made a covenant. He made a promise. The Father promised to choose a people. And the Son promised to die for those people. He promised to pay the price of redemption for them. And the Spirit promised to call those people. It was a promise, a covenant of mercy. A covenant of mercy. Mercy is for sinners who don't deserve mercy. That's who it's for. If they deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. If they earned it, it wouldn't be mercy. But it's for sinners who did not earn it, do not deserve it. That's who God's mercy is for. He made a covenant of mercy, a covenant of redemption for sin, redemption from condemnation. Condemnation is coming. And God promised to redeem his people through the blood of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. It was a promise of salvation for chosen sinners. And he said, I will keep my promise. Have you ever heard people say, now you better be careful, better watch what you do or you'll lose your salvation? You ever heard people say that? That's not so. Not if Christ saved us. Not if God the Father promised that He would save us. And not if God the Son promised that He would save us. And not if God the Spirit promised that He would save us. It's not so. We are kept by the power of God. And He has promised, I'll keep my covenant. And I won't do it because of you. I'll do it because of me. I'll do it because of me. That is the best news I've ever heard. We don't look to this flesh and see, well, will He keep His covenant to me based on what I see right here? He said, I'll keep my covenant because of me. Because of myself. Because I'm faithful. Look right here in Deuteronomy 7 at verse 1. It says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Verse 11, he said, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Now here's the question. If you know anything about what the children of Israel did, I won't take the time to go into it, but did they keep his commandments? He said, don't intermarry with them. No, did they keep? No, they did not. No, they did not. They broke all of his commandments. But look at verse 6. This is what he said in verse 6. Thou art an holy people. That means a set apart, a sanctified holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. There was truly nothing in you. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. He said, know that the Lord your God, he is God. I am God. And if I said I'll do it, I'll keep my promise to do it. That's just amazing. He made a covenant concerning us. And that covenant was not dependent on us. It wasn't conditioned on us. It was in spite of us. That's why he made the covenant. It was a covenant of mercy. It was a covenant to love us. It was a covenant to redeem us. And he'll do it. He will love us. And he will redeem us. And he'll do it because he's faithful. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 6. It says, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He swore to himself. Nothing causes me to cringe more than hearing somebody say, I swear to God, don't do that. Only one man could do that. And he did. In all of his holiness, in all of his righteousness, in all of his power, in all of his ability, he said, I swear to God, I'll keep my covenant. I'll love him. I'll redeem him. He's not going to break it. He will not break it. He's faithful. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 24. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He made a promise to have mercy on his people, and he will show it. He made a promise to call his people, and he will call them. He will call them. Call them to what? What will he call his people to? Look at verse 23. It says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's such an amazing statement to me. God is angry with the wicked every day. The Lord is a man of war. That's what the scripture says. But in the blood of Jesus Christ, he is peace. Peace with his people. "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Like we just read, he will call his people to purity. He'll call his people to holiness. He will call his people to spiritual innocence. And another way of saying that is he'll call them to Christ. He will call them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will sanctify his people wholly, completely. That means he will take his people and set them apart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will preserve every single one of them blameless until the day of his coming. He faithfully will do that for all of his people. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn the page here to 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." He will establish you and keep you. He shall have mercy on you. He will wash you. He'll sanctify you, preserve you blameless. And he'll keep you. He shall. Look at 2 Timothy with me, chapter 2. A few pages over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 13, it says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself. We believed not. That's how we entered this world. That's how we would be, except for the fact that he abides faithful. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is not of ourselves. It is not of ourselves. We don't naturally have it. We do not naturally produce it. But Christ does. It is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives it to us. And thank God he keeps on giving it to us. We lose it. He puts it in our hands and it falls. It slips right through our fingers. We lose it and he gives us more. And then we lose that and then he gives us more. We'll come into here, into this building right here, and he'll give us some. And then we'll walk right out of those doors and lose it. And then we'll come back and he'll give us some more. And then we'll go lose it, and he'll give us more. He kept saying to his disciples, "Are you yet without faith?" He would tell them something, and they'd say, "No, Lord, don't do that." And he'd say, "Are you still without faith? You still are not holding the faith I've given to you?" He just keeps giving it. He keeps giving it. That's us. We lose it. He gives us more. This is what happens. We look away from him. And this is what his faith does. He turns our eyes back to him. And then we look away from him. And he turns our eyes back to him. And then we look away from him. and he turns our eyes back to him, and then we look away from him, and he turns. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's full of faith, and he's faithful to give it to his people. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Daily. We need this daily. What he has done for us eternally, he does for us daily. Verse 7 right here says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every time that we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to remind us that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. We confess to him. Sin will pop back into our minds and it just strikes absolute guilt into us. It just slays us. And we cry out to him. We confess to him, I did it. And every time his spirit reminds us the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all of your sin. I've told you this recently, but this is my favorite story to tell right now. And I'm just resolved to tell the same old stories over and over again. This is from a message by Charles Spurgeon. And anyway, you'll recognize it. He said, during this last week, I have been with Brother Offord. Every time I read this, I think I'll look forward to meeting Brother Offord, whoever that is. But he said, I've been with Brother Offord conducting prayer meetings, and he told one evening a tale which I made him tell every evening afterwards, for I thought it so good. He said, there was a poor man living on Dartmoor who had been employed during the summer in looking after horses and cows and so on that were turned out on the moor. He was a perfect heathen and never went to a place of worship, perhaps since he was a child. For him, there was no Sabbath. After a time, he grew very ill. He was over 60 years of age, and having nothing to live upon, he went into the workhouse. While he was there, it pleased the mysterious spirit to make him uneasy as to his soul. He felt that he must die, and the old man had just enough light to let him see that if he did die, all was wrong with regard to a future state. He saw, my soul is not right with God, as people put it. He had a little granddaughter who lived in a neighboring town, Plymouth, I think it was, and he asked leave for his grandchild to come in every day to see him. As he was very ill and near death, that was allowed. She came in and he said to her, read the Bible to me, dear. She complied, and the more she read, the more wretched the old man grew. Some will understand that. You read the Bible looking for help, and the more you read, the more your eyes are open to just how sinful you truly are and how much of this word you have broken. The more that was read to him, the more wretched he grew. Read it again, said he. The more she read, the more dark his mind seemed to be with a sense of guilt. At last, one day, she came to that passage in the first epistle of John. You know it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Is that there? He asked. Yes, Grandfather, replied the little girl. That is there. Is that there? Oh, yes, Grandfather, it is there. Then read it again. Read it again. She again read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." My dear, are you sure it is just like that? Yes, Grandfather. Then read it again, dear. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Then he said, "Take my finger and put it on that verse." Is it on that text, child? Is my finger on that blessed text? Yes, Grandfather. Then said he, "Tell them," alluding to his friends, "that I die in the faith of that." And he closed his eyes and doubtless entered into eternal rest. Spurgeon said, "And I will die in the faith of that truth by the grace of God. And so will you, I trust, brethren and sisters, die with your finger on that text. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." I'm a sinner. This is what he was saying. I'm a sinner. And he has promised in his word that his blood is able and already has washed me from all of my sin. And I believe it. I believe him. I believe on him. I die in the faith of that. I die in the faith of him. I die in the faith of the one who alone is able to cleanse me from all of my sin. Is that not what we're dying in? One by one, we're going to leave this world and that's what we're dying in. We're dying in the faith of the blood of the Son of God. So, I was going to have you turn back. I'm going to close, but I'm going to close with this. God is faithful. Hope in it. God is faithful. The very one who called you to the fellowship of his Son, he's faithful. Everything he said he would do for you, he'll do it. All right, you're dismissed.